So, Lord, I just ask that you would give us ears to hear and grant our hearts to be open, Lord. And we just want to thank you for your presence here with us and all that you're doing, Lord, in this place, all that you're doing in our city, Lord. We just honor you, Lord, and welcome more of you, Lord, more of what you want to do. Yeah, just have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So the whole idea of listening is so key and so important. And oh, there we go. Hear the voice of God. I want to just go back and just give you just a summary of last week's message, just so that you understand the one point that I was trying to bring across last week. And pray, because I really feel this is important, and I just need the Lord's help to be able to share this and for you to be able to hear what it is that he's put on my heart. So be in prayer as we go through this together. So last week I mentioned Isaac's dream, and Isaac's dream really touched me deeply. And you'll remember that in the dream he got to heaven, and there was this little kind of shack, and this was going to be his home, you know, his mansion. Whereas he saw in the distance all these other mansions, all these other homes. And he said to the Lord, he said, "Is this all I did for you? Is this all I did for you?" And the Lord said to him, he said, "Son, the reward you have is not for what you did for me, it's what you allowed me to do through you." The point that I was trying to make last week in using John and Charles Wesley, who I want to refer to again this morning and tell you about their mother, Susanna. But John and Charles Wesley tried with all their effort, with all their religious effort, you know, to work for God, to do things for God, with no results, with nothing to show for their religious effort. And then they began to meet Christians. They began to meet this group called the Moravians, who had a visible Christianity, a Christianity that was visible, that was noticeable, that was vibrant and alive and different than anything they'd ever experienced in their lives. Even though they were religious, they were clergymen at this point, they were Anglican priests. And yet they observed in the Moravians that their faith was something that was visibly beautiful to behold. Notably on the ship that they were on when they went through the storm, and they were terrified, full of fear. These men of God, these Anglican priests, full of fear. And yet they saw the Moravians, not just the men and the women, but the children, going through this storm, singing, and without fear for their lives. And so this impressed them, and there was a journey that they were on, where people came into their lives and spoke to them about faith, spoke to them about salvation, and how it was only in Christ, it was in Jesus alone, that there was nothing to be added, nothing to be added. And I want to just clear up a misunderstanding, if there was one last week. I want to say that this does not mean that what we do, in fact, you're going to see that the good things we do are of great value. They're of great value in God's eyes, that he calls us to do good things. He calls us. That's why this video is so important that I showed you last week and then again this week, is that God wants us to notice things, to hear him speak, and to act on those things that he shows us, to do those good things that he calls us to do. So John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." This is a very important scripture because it's an invitation to intimacy and fruitfulness. Now the intimacy is so key because it's different than religion. Religion does not offer that intimacy. It offers us a list of rules and regulations and a way of operating, but it doesn't offer us the life of the Spirit that comes to us through faith in Jesus. When we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, he comes by the power of his Spirit, he fills us up, and we enter into relationship. This is the difference. We enter into relationship and then into fruitfulness. And I'm going to share a little bit of the fruitfulness from Charles and John Wesley's life. But this is an important point, because what I want us to see is that what begins in faith, what begins with salvation, is the very thing that is at work within us through our entire lives. We're not to, all of a sudden, now we've come to faith, now we've become Christians, and now we just sort of live in our own strength. We decide what to do, we'll pick and choose, or we'll be religious or be a Christian on Sunday, but then the rest of the week, it's kind of life back to normal. That's not what God has called us to. And John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Another translation says, my sheep listen to my voice. So this is the key, is that when we become followers of Jesus, we become listeners. And in order to be a follower of Jesus, you first have had to listen. You first have had to hear. Something is awakened in you. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes to our hearts through hearing. Through hearing, our hearts are awakened, and we say, you know, just like John Wesley and Charles Wesley, they said, you know, all of a sudden they said, I believe, you know. I remember when my father was dying, and I had a dream, and in the dream, there was a child, and it was like I could see the child's heart and how easy it was for a child to believe. It was just this little movement of a child's heart, and they believed. And this was a dream for my dad, and I saw it come true in front of my eyes, is that this childlike faith, this just a little turn, and I believe, you know, I believe. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't make it up. You can't study it. You can only believe it. So the scripture says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So listening is so important and so key. It says, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Quick to listen. I had a friend years ago. He's now in heaven. He was actually my supervisor when I was becoming a Baptist minister at the time, and he was my supervisor. So we spent a lot of time together. But Chuck, who had the same name as me, he liked to talk, but he did not like to listen so much, you know? And so when I was with him and I began to talk, I could see that he couldn't wait to talk, you know? Like, he just couldn't wait to talk. And this went on for a long time. It's hard to have a conversation with someone like that because you're just not feeling like they're with you because they can hardly wait for you to be done so they can talk, right? So I thought to myself, I had this brilliant thought, and the thought was simply this, that I love this guy. I mean, he's got my name, for goodness sake, you know? I love this guy. Who else is going to tell him this? You know, who else is going to share this information with him? You know, Chuck, you don't really give the other person a chance to talk, you know? And so I told him. And from then on, we'd have these conversations. And I could see him working hard. I mean, you know, as I was talking, he was like working at this, you know, to listen, to listen. So I believe that this is an important message. And I'm just getting wound up here, so stay with me, because what happens when I preach a message like this, or I prepare a message like this, it's life to me. This is life to me. I'm not giving, you know, I had another friend who used to say, back in the Baptist days, you would preach for a call. So you would go to a church and you would preach, and then the pulpit committee would vote on you, you know, and whether they wanted you as their pastor or not. So my friend used his top message, you know, the one that everybody loved, the, you know, that he had in his file. Eh? Like, he would use this message, you know. I mean, I remember one church he went to, and I don't know what happened on the second Sunday, but you know, he'd used up his top message, eh? And so I've always been, this is my heart, as always prepared from scratch. If I'm going to preach something, I don't just pull it out and rifle it through. It's got to be life for me. So I trust that in the essence of this, in the essence of what I'm going to share for you, in the very heart of it, if, by God's grace, it'll be communicated, is that this is a very important message. And it has life on it, because if we will listen, if we will hear what the Spirit is saying, there was a man by the name of Bob Birch, and I love mentioning his name because he crisscrossed our nation. He lived well into his 90s. I think he lived to 99 years old. But I saw him when he was between his 79th and 80th year, and the Lord had said, I promised him 10 more years of fruitful ministry if he would crisscross our nation, Canada. That's why I told Leo this morning that people have prayed. They prayed for Tito and his family, for the people that have come from the Congo and from Uganda and from Rwanda and all these countries that have come into our city. They have prayed. And Bob Birch prayed for our nation. And his message was, let him that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying. I wanted to illustrate through Charles and John that faith alone saves us. And so if we can grasp this, we can understand. As we turn to Galatians 3, I'm not going to turn to it. Last week I mentioned Galatians 3, but it's basically Paul is saying, you began by the Spirit, you began by faith, and now you're doing this thing by works. Now you're trying to get religious on me, and you're just doing this out of your own strength. And he's exhorting them, and he's saying, what began by faith, what began by the Spirit, continues by the Spirit. It continues by the Spirit. It's his work. That's why Isaac's little shock was not that he had done nothing, but it was what he allowed God to do through him. Salvation is the biggest one. I mean, getting to heaven, I mean, he had a shock, for goodness sake. And I imagine a shock in heaven is better than a mansion here on earth. And yet, it's not what we do for God. It begins with him, and it continues through him. You know, I've got this brother that said that what we should do is, like, God has gifted each and every one of you, each and every one of us. He's given us unique gifts. David, he's given you unique gifts. And when we do things in our lives, this is what this brother said to me. He said, you take a compliment like a flower. You just, you know, you go through your day, someone says something, they appreciate the giftedness in your life. They appreciate how unique you are, and you don't say, no, you know, that's, you know, I'm not that way, you know, like, whatever. You take it as a flower. But then at the end of the day, you present that bouquet before the Lord, because it all comes from him. He's given us the breath that we breathe, the strength that we have, the gifts that we have. It all comes from him. But it doesn't mean that we're nothing. God has put that within us. He's put it within each one of us, and it's of value. So, here we go. So the way it begins, it continues. So I want to mention Susanna Wesley, because she had a list. I read this list of hardships in her life. Many of us know Susanna Wesley as the mother of John and Charles Wesley, but you might not know that Susanna Wesley had 19 children altogether. 9 of her children died as infants. So this is the mother of Charles and John Wesley that I spoke about last week. She raised these children. But there's a very long list of hardships in her life. And I'm not going to mention them all, but I want to mention hardship. Because hardships can be the very invitation to hearing in our lives. Sometimes we think when we're going through the difficult times and the hardships of our lives and we're not in the best place and things are happening all around us and things seem broken and messed up, it's in those times that we can hear, we can listen, we can be comforted, we can be instructed, we can be blessed by the voice of the Lord. So she had many hardships. I won't go through them all. I mean, imagine losing, how many children? Nine children. Imagine losing 9 children. I mean, that alone is a hardship. But in the end, Susanna knew that one day her hard life would be over, and she alone would stand before the throne of God and give an account for how she had lived her life. And so she was intentional, even in her hardship. Many of you are familiar with the story of how do you spend time? How do you listen to the Lord? How do you have a quiet time with the Lord when you have 10 children? Well, she would take her apron and she'd put it over her head, and the children would know at that time that was her time. That was her time with the Lord, and the kids would leave her alone and let her have that time. So Charles and John Wesley came to faith within three days of each other, after all this kind of religiosity and the struggling to come to faith. Each of them yielded their lives, came to an understanding that this thing was by faith alone, and salvation was a gift from God, and it was to be received by faith. So on July 18, 1738, 2 months after his conversion, Charles Wesley did an amazing thing. He had spent the week witnessing to inmates at Newgate Prison with a friend named Bray. Bray was the guy I mentioned last week, who was just an ordinary guy, but he was full of the Spirit, and he came and shared and preached salvation and was one of the ones that led to Charles's salvation. One of the men they spoke to was a black slave that had been robbed by his master. He was sick with a fever and was condemned to die. Wesley and Bray asked if they could be locked up overnight with the prisoners who were to be executed the next day. That night they spoke the gospel. They told the men that one came down from heaven to save lost sinners. They described the sufferings of the Son of God, his sorrows, his agony, and his death. The next day the men were loaded into a cart and taken to Tyburn. Charles went with them. The fruit of Wesley and Bray's night-long labor was astonishing, and here's Wesley's account. This is in his own words. They were all cheerful, full of comfort and triumph, assuredly persuaded Christ had died for them, and that he waited to receive them into paradise. That black slave saluted me with his looks. As often his eyes met mine, he smiled with the most composed, delightful countenance I'd ever saw. We left them going to meet the Lord, ready to be with the bridegroom. Exactly at 12, they were gone. And then he goes on to say, I spoke a few words to the crowds and I returned full of peace and confidence in our friend's happiness. That hour under the gallows was the most blessed hour of my life. God put it into Wesley's heart to yield to the Lord and to do this. He put it in their hearts. This is written by John Piper, and he says this. He says, I believe that there are hundreds of strange and radical things God will call us to do. Many strange and radical things that God will call us to do. Not everyone will hear the same call. It will be unique. It may be something you never dreamed of. It may be something you've only dreamed of. But I am praying that you will be courageous and yield. So I want to just get really practical in the next few minutes and talk about hearing God's voice. Hearing easy things is where it starts. This is where it starts. Take out the trash. You know, you've all heard that voice. Call so-and-so. If I would ask for you to raise your hands, I'm sure there are people here who would say, I wish I'd called so-and-so. I had the thought, but I didn't act on it. I wish I'd called so-and-so. But these are easy things. Replace the toilet paper. How many people have heard that, you know, and acted on it? Tonight, Tito and his family are hosting this worship night in the East End, and you've seen the poster we've sent out, but it's going to be 5 hours long, 5 hours long. And Tito says to me, turns to me the other day, and he says, Chuck, you know, you can leave at 8. You know, it starts at 5, eh? Five hours. He says, you can leave at 8. I said, Tito, there's no way. There's no way I'm leaving at 8. And so here, the scripture says, so Jeremiah, this is to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, if you're worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race with horses? And if you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when troubles break loose like the Jordan in a flood? We have to exercise our spiritual muscles, our muscles of endurance. We're just way too wimpy, brothers and sisters, if you don't mind my saying so. I remember I was trying to teach everybody about rain and shine Christians, you know, during COVID. You know, I said, we're going to meet outside, rain or shine, rain or shine. And I had a brother come up to me and said, Chuck, you know, he says, if it's raining, I'll be on Zoom, you know. I said, you're not getting it, you know. You're just not getting it. Rain or shine Christians, trying to stretch us into a place where real difficulties come, you know. But Nancy, bless her heart, I tell her story. You're like Mary. Your story's going to be told forever. She says, if we decide to meet out here during the winter, I'm going to put on my big winter jacket and meet with you. That was the heart. That's the heart of a believer. That's the heart of a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus. You can't be a wimp and follow Jesus. I mean, you can't really enter into the adventure that God's called you to and say no to God. So here, I want to just touch really briefly on hearing in times of persecution. In Luke 12, it says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say. I don't know if you'll get to see this or you'll get to test this in my own life, but I have this thing. I can't carry a tune, but I want to sing. I want to be like Sammy Tippett, a guy I read about in the time of the Soviet Union and the communism, and he was arrested on a platform at a train station. And he began to sing. He just began to sing. I thought it was brilliant. I thought, talk about sending, you know, everything into confusion, you know, starting to sing. It says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And in Luke 21, before all this happens, you will be arrested and punished. You will be tried in your synagogues and put in jail. Because of me, you will be placed on trial before kings and governors. This will result in your being witnesses to them, but this will be your chance to tell about your faith. Another translation says, this will be your chance to tell about your faith. Don't worry about what you will say. Don't worry about what you will say to defend yourself. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. I will give you words and wisdom to know what to say. None of the enemies will be able to oppose or to say that you are wrong. So hindrances to hearing. We're going to go through this really quickly, so don't worry. It won't be long. It's important. A.W. Tozer in The Pursuit of God, he says, the tragedy is that our eternal welfare depends upon our hearing, and we have trained our ears not to hear. We have trained our ears not to hear. So hindrances to hearing, unconfessed sin. Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. And in 1 John, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are important scriptures, and it's important to recognize that unconfessed sin, allowing sin to remain in our hearts, hinders our hearing from God, keeps us from hearing from him. Number two, busyness. I want you to know that this is not an exhaustive list. By the time I'm done, you'll have thought of things that are not on this list, and that's good, and that's important, and that's right. But I want to just get you thinking about this listening and how to foster this in your heart. So busyness. I told you last week, after coming to faith in Jesus at 17 years old, I heard his voice, obviously, in salvation, being called to him. The Bible says that to as many as believe on him, to them he gives the right to become children of God. And so at that point, I became a son. I became a son of God. And then I became busy right away. I became busy because I had a lot of Christian friends, and I just enjoyed this new life. So I was walking home. I was on Chapman Boulevard, I was going home, and I knew my friends were going to be there when I got there, and a car went by with my friends in it. And I told you this last week, but in case you weren't here, I heard the words come through my mind as I ran after the car, calling out to them, and they couldn't hear me, and they kept going. And the words that came into my heart and into my mind were, I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. I tell you, this is about relationship. It's about a gift, the gift of relationship. It began with relationship. It does not end in our own works. It doesn't end. It continues in this relationship. David Wilkerson, who many of you have heard about or know about, who started Teen Challenge, he had gotten this thing, this ministry, so big that he had to go around and just raise funds to keep it going. He had buses, and he had you know, all kinds of things going on, just busy, busy, busy. He had started in the streets of New York just as a young preacher, going there, sharing the faith, sharing his faith with drug addicts and prostitutes, and seeing God move powerfully in New York City. But now he'd become a big ministry. So one day he was in his office, and there was a little bit of ruckus outside. He could hear some things going on, and I think security was trying to keep this young guy out. And David Wilkerson comes out, and he basically invites this young man into his office. And this young man says to David, he says, David, this is the word of the Lord. You don't listen anymore. You don't listen anymore. And David at first was taken back, and, his back was up. And I mean, who is this young guy to speak to me, this great prophet of God? But David had enough humility in his heart and enough hearing left to recognize that this was the voice of the Lord, that the voice was speaking to him and calling him. David shut everything down. He sold property out in Tyler, Texas for $1 an acre to another ministry. He got rid of the buses. He went back to New York City. Now he's in heaven, but the church that he founded, Times Square's church, is in New York City, is still there. So let's just keep going. Another one is noise. This is an important one in the time in which we live. I have so wished, I've told you this before, it's getting harder and harder as the days go by, is to unplug for an entire year. I've always had that. Maybe the Lord will give me that desire, but to unplug for an entire year. I know the first thing that would happen is I'd have a lot of people angry with me right off the bat, you know, because we've gotten so used to getting in touch with each other instantaneously. And when you don't reply within 2 minutes, they think something's wrong. You're dying, you know. But earbuds, we're living in a generation of earbuds. Canceling out noise and inviting, you know, or canceling out other things. Graham, you might not remember this, but you'll remember this. When you left for England, you sold me your little car, and it had no radio. I don't know if I ever had a car without a radio, but that car, I think I even nicknamed it a prayer car. I had a nickname for it. I can't remember now, but it had no radio, and that was an incredible blessing. Here's another one. Inconvenience. How many know that inconvenience is a hindrance to hearing the voice of God, to hearing his voice in our lives? Being inconvenienced. My last day in Hong Kong, I've been to China twice, but my last day in Hong Kong, the first time I was there, I was on my way to shop because I wanted, my kids were very young, and I always like to bring presents home from trips, and I remember passing this person. They were, I don't know if they were in a wheelchair, or they were seated, and they were looking for money. They're looking for something, and I just walked by them, and I was heading downtown to where I was going to shop, and I didn't get very far where I knew where I knew that I was to go back, that the Lord was asking me to go back. And this has happened in my life many, many times, and I've gotten used to hearing his voice that way, you know, when he asked me to return. I wanted to play that first clip this morning because I wanted you to not get into a place where you think your discernment is so perfect, you know. I met missionaries years ago. They had perfected their discernment, so they didn't give to anybody on the street. They didn't give to anybody who was begging. And I thought, man, I don't want my discernment to be tweaked to that degree, you know, where I'm not giving, where I'm not being able to hear the Lord to give, you know. So what is that? Inconvenience. Okay. Next is being a spiritual connoisseur. And this is very easy to become a spiritual connoisseur. I don't like that he eats locusts and wild honey. I just cannot really hear what you're saying, you know, with those locusts in your teeth, you know, like I just can't hear what you're saying. I stood in front of our congregation in a little Baptist church that I was pastoring, and I said, if I had a ponytail and an earring, could you hear what I'm saying? Could you hear what I'm saying? Val says that's way outdated now, that ponytails and earrings are in and everybody's okay with that. But so it's an outdated illustration. Just a short time later, we had a guy by the name of Rick Barry come, and he was an artist to it. Some of you would recognize some of his artwork, but he came and he had a ponytail and an earring. So if nothing else, I prepared the congregation to be able to hear, you know, to be able to hear. I was going to use Trump this morning as an example. I was going to use his name because even his name is so controversial and it evokes such anger in people, you know, to even mention the name of Trump. But you know that Trump moved the embassy, the Israeli embassy to its capital, to Jerusalem. You know, there's some other accomplishments I wanted to mention. He was the first president to stand with the pro-life movement, to stand for the unborn. And he also determined, if he gets in again, he says, is to eliminate men in women's sports. So I don't care what you think about Trump, okay? But I want you to know that those three things garner the favor of heaven. We've got to align ourselves. And the problem is that if the messenger, we don't like the messenger, we shut out the message, you know, and we can't hear because our ears are deaf to hearing. And those things, I am convinced that even in our city right now, some of the things, the pro-life movement, standing with the unborn, and standing with the Jewish people during this time, this very difficult time, anti-Semitism within our city, you need to know that Jewish people have woken up and looked outside this past winter and seen swastikas on their snow, outside their window, right here in the city. Many other things. In Montreal, I went down to Montreal in the fall to prayer walk and to meet a friend of mine, Michael Gertzman, because one of the synagogues had been firebombed. I want to tell you, there are certain things that you got to be on the right side of. When I saw the newest movie about the unborn on abortion, I came away with a thought that was so profound. It's that these little ones are made in the image of God. And Satan just hates God so much that he would rip these ones apart in order to get back at God. I hope that's okay. Spiritual, being a spiritual connoisseur, picking and choosing. Here's a good one. Hearing something you don't like. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. God will offend our minds to reveal our hearts. He does that. He likes to do that. I'll go as far as to say he likes to do that. And if you'll be quick to recognize that and say, oh God, you know, like, I just repent. I just ask your forgiveness for thinking that thought. Then he will adjust us so that we'll be able to hear more clearly and to hear more things. He wants to speak to us. A prophet was asked one time this question, what is the Lord saying? This prophet was asked. And the prophet answered this. He said, not as much as people are saying he's saying, but a whole lot more than most are willing to hear. He's saying a whole lot more than most are willing to hear. What about part with that money? You know, sometimes I have money in my pocket and it's like seed. Some people call it, you know, burning through the pocket, you know, like whatever. I don't care what you call it. But I took our little church, our little Baptist church, through a spiritual adventure, 50-day spiritual adventure years ago. And part of the adventure was to carry around, I don't know if it was $20 back then or whatever, in your pocket. And to wait and to just see how God would use that $20. Just, you know, and that was just an exercise in hearing again, an exercise in listening. What about this one? I met a man, his name was Don Milam. He had just come back from Mozambique. So again, I'm going back into my teen years now, way back. He had just gotten out from Mozambique. So he's in a Mozambique prison, and His wife and family had to go back to the United States. He was in this Mozambique prison, not knowing what would happen to him. And there was a guard in there that took a dislike to him and some of the others in the prison. And they would have them dig these big holes in the ground. And they're digging this thing, not knowing if this is going to be their grave, you know. But this guy, Don, noticed that this man, this guard, his pants were always kind of falling down, you know. And he heard these words come into his head. And the words were, "Give him your belt. Give him your belt." I want to use one more, hearing something you don't like. So I want to use one more example. There was a man that was offered a job in another city. And he asked this question of the Lord. He said, "Lord, what's in it for you?" This is a really interesting way of thinking. Now just bear with me for a second. He says, "What's in it for you?" And the Lord spoke to him and said, "I lose in the deal. I lose in the deal." This guy was, the Lord was using him in the local church. He was involved in ministry and in certain things. And yet a job opportunity came that was really enticing. And he asked the Lord, "What's in it for you?" How many would ask that question? And the Lord says, "I lose in the deal." So he decided to stay. He didn't go. We're almost done. Let's see here. Adding to your list of options. This is from Ken Hall. I like this one a lot. And I tell you, the Lord won't speak to us as often if we're only going to take what he says to us and add it to our list of options. The Lord is really wanting to speak, and he will speak, but not so that we can add to our list of options. There we go. Letting others do all the hearing for us. This is an important one. Yeah, I'm not going to say a lot on this, except in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, they said to Moses, they said, "Go near and hear all that the Lord your God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord your God speaks." So they said to Moses, "You go and do the listening for us." And A.W. Tozer says, "How tragic that we in this dark day have had all our seeking done for us by our teachers." And I have another one here, pride. Here we go. And I think that's it for that. Then we're going to just, this one we're going to go through really fast, but let me just say pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We need God's grace in our lives in this hour, so humility is huge. The dangers of not listening, I don't have a slide for that, but simply it says, "Hear my people, and I warn you if you would only listen to me, Israel. But my people would not listen to me, Israel became stubborn, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices." So refusing to listen creates greater stubbornness in us and an inability to hear what he's saying. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, he says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when the Father comes in glory." So not being ashamed of the words of God and what he has to speak to us. Very quickly, the best listening practices, and this is where this list could be very long, but I've got a very short one here. So the number one is to ask. In 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon has a dream, and in the dream, the Lord says, "Ask of me, and I'll give you and what you ask." And he asks the Lord for wisdom. He asks him for a discerning heart. It's literally, in the original language, it's a listening heart or a hearing heart. This is what Solomon asked for, not for riches, not for glory, but he asks for a hearing heart. "Give your servant a listening heart." Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And James says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously." This is a great practice. A really good practice for listening is to ask God, to ask him, "Lord," and to admit your lack. James 1:5, admit your lack and ask God to give you wisdom and to speak to you. Number two, prioritize hearing. Get the radio off or the earbuds out of your ears. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, "The very moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush in like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger life come flowing in, and so on all day long. Asking, opening your heart to that other voice all day long and to speak." Number three, expect to hear from God. "My sheep hear my voice," the Bible says. God wants to speak, but there's something about an expectancy. Going to bed at night expectant that God will speak to you, even in the night season. Living your life through the day expectant, because God has said he will speak, he has spoken, and we can expect him to speak, and that expectancy actually draws the attention of heaven. Next, watch and pray. This is an important one because there's a scripture, but I've heard a saying too, that if we judge simply by what our eyes see, we're going to come to the wrong conclusions. And part of listening to God is being able to hear through the circumstances of life, being able to see people but really see them, being able to see a circumstance and hear something out of that circumstance that's different than the average person would see. You can look at a situation. In fact, I remember going back, one of those return trips where I'd walked by this young girl on the sidewalk, and I walked by because I was busy, right? I had a place to be, and I turned the corner, and then I knew I was to go back. And I went back, and I looked down, and this young lady had a little baby on her lap. And you see, God sees things. We can look at things, we can judge, we can be connoisseurs, but God sees, and He wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal things that we don't see with our natural eyes. So it says to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. Don't close your eyes. Watch and pray. Here we go. Read with a listening ear. I had a practice early on in my Christian life where I would read through Psalms or a portion of Scripture until I heard. So I would have something in my heart, you know, of a question that I was holding before the Lord, and I would just read Scripture with that question just right on the top of my heart, and He would speak to me. He would speak through His Word. And I would encourage you to read the Word with a listening heart. If you read with a listening ear, you'll hear more than you read. You'll read and you'll hear at the same time. Here's one more. Choose the fear of the Lord. This is important because the Scripture says the Lord is a friend of those who fear Him. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. So fearing the Lord is key to listening to God. There's a Scripture that says that we're to choose the fear of the Lord. So as we go through life, we choose the fear of the Lord. But I'm not going to choose that, you know. I'm going to walk away from that, and I'm going to choose the fear of the Lord. I'm going to choose to fear God rather than that situation. But this is key to hearing God's voice. And next, and the last one, I don't think it's on here. We're done with that. I added this. It's obey. This is so key because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I can remember years ago a couple that listened to the voice of God where they obeyed in a situation. I had learned early on, and I'll throw this out because this is good stuff, even just for you to think about. You know, there was a saying years ago that the only way to leave a local church is to be sent out or carried out. Now think about that for a second. Sent out or carried out. And I love it. We have a practice here where we bless everyone. If people go, we bless them. Because we know that as long as that bridge is not burned, that they can just cross that bridge again. You know, we're not going to burn any bridges. But the idea of obedience is key to hearing God's voice. If you want to hear God's voice, then do what He says. Do what He says. Because if you're just going to be stubborn and not do what He says, you're going to stop hearing that voice. But there was a couple years ago, this is another situation years ago, where they were going to leave a church. They were going to leave the local church. And for, I don't even know the reasons, but I remember them changing their minds. They had decided, and I believe because of the Lord, because they leaned into the Lord. It's not a bad thing to seek counsel, you know? The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. You know, it's not a bad thing to get people to pray with you. You know, you got a thought. You know, it's possible that thought's not from the Lord. You know, it's possible that we leave things quickly just out of knee-jerk reaction, or we do certain things. It's possible, you know, it's possible that we make decisions that are wrong. It's possible. And so it's not a bad thing to seek counsel or to seek prayer, you know, before jumping into. So this couple made a decision to stay, and the fruitfulness and the blessing of their lives, I believe to this day, is just flourishing and just continuing because they made a decision that they were going to follow Jesus and listen to Him. Okay, in conclusion, Stephen was the first Christian martyr, and it says about him that all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So I'm going to say tonight to the group of young people that are gathered at this worship time, I want to really honor what God's doing in their lives, but to say that He's doing something visible and beautiful. And this is what He's going to have. The Bible says that He will have a bride that's glorious. This thing is heading towards beauty. It's not heading towards something marred or dark or even something that it's heading towards beauty. This whole thing. It says in Ephesians that He will have a radiant bride, a radiant church, and a glorious church. This is what He will have for Himself. He's committed to this. And the Bible says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So this thing is going to be so visible and so beautiful, and this light will not be hidden. And these young people that have come from these African nations are not hiding their light. They are bold as lions. They are courageous. They'll not be called cowards. In Revelation says one of the great sins in Revelation is cowardice. You know, and these young people are bold, they're strong, they're courageous, they're full of the Holy Spirit, and they're beautiful. So this is where this thing's headed. John 10:16 says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. So I'm not going to take the time to read John 17, but this is what we're living in right now, John 17, where God is bringing about a unity, where he's bringing his people together in such a way that something visible and beautiful is being put on display. And in John 17, it says that the world will behold it and they'll believe that God sent his son. It's going to be so beautiful, so visible, so believable, that the lost will see it and believe. And these other sheep will come in, they will listen to his voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So Lord, I pray for this beautiful group of believers that you've gathered in this place today. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying at this hour, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear. I pray that you would unstop everyone's ears, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would hear, Lord, that we would hear, first of all, the Good Shepherd calling us to follow him, to follow Jesus, to become one of his disciples, one of his sons, one of his daughters, one of his followers. And Lord, after hearing that voice, Lord, help us to hear your voice continually, Lord. Continually, Lord God. Train us up in what it means to hear your voice and then to act on what you speak to us, Lord, that we would be a people that would act quickly, Lord, that we wouldn't have to be a distance away before we turn around and say yes to your voice, but that we would be quick to hear and quick to listen, quick to obey, Lord. Oh, Lord God, thank you for this adventure, Lord. It's an adventure in fruitfulness, Lord, in intimacy with you and in fruitfulness, Lord. Lord, make everybody in this room fruitful, Lord. Make us incredibly fruitful, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By the power of your Spirit, I pray. And Lord, may signs and wonders, Lord, accompany your word, Lord. I pray for signs and wonders, for the moving of your Spirit, Lord, in our midst, Lord God, just as you did in the early days, Lord. Just as you did, Lord God, do it again. Do it here. Do it now, Lord, we pray. All for your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One of the beautiful things is that this, as I thought about this, I thought about how as Christians, our lives begin by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus. That's where it begins. The greatest miracle of all is an awakened heart, a heart that's alive and awakened and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where it begins. But then you live your entire life. Now you find yourself fast forward to where you are today, and he wants to do everything through you by that same Spirit, by that same faith, that same power. And so he wants to do that. And then I thought of this church and how it's the same with the church, that he started something. This church was birthed in the Jesus movement. It was young hippies coming off the street, coming to faith in Jesus, giving up their drugs, giving up their promiscuity, and deciding to follow Jesus. And in the power of the Spirit, you know, there was singing in the Spirit, there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, miracles happening, and all of that not to be discontinued. It's actually to continue, and this thing will end even as it began, and even in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen.